Ring the bell. Golden Oak Lending has lowered rates. Lower your mortgage payment, get cash out, or pay off credit cards. Visit goldenoaklending.com today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
NMLS 114937.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts.
Mark Reardon.
I mean, my gosh, guys, he's unbelievable.
This country was built on hard work, added value, and talent, not on equal outcome.
Mark Reardon.
People are aroused. I haven't seen people so aroused in a very, very long time.
Yeah, he has that effect on people.
This is the Mark Reardon Show.
Well, good afternoon. And unfortunately, I have to start on a note that is pretty unfortunate for the city of St. Louis. And Sue Thomas has a, I guess, indirect involvement with this story that happened in Holly Hills. How are you this afternoon? Well, what happened there? Why is that not
this
working?
Light isn't even on.
Okay, there's a great start to the show. Fred, are you there?
I'm here. Can you
Look
hear me?
Look at that. I can hear you. I cannot hear Sue, though.
I think Sue had more than an indirect impact.
Yeah, she might
on this
have.
Story.
I was just trying to kind of ease into it here this afternoon. Sue,
how about this one?
There we go.
Okay.
All right.
We'll just switch mics.
She's on three. I don't know what that means.
See, this light's out, too, Ethan. Okay, hold on.
Try it again.
Going back.
Okay,
huh?
There we go.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's start the whole damn thing over, right? That's not my favorite way to open a show, but it's just what technology does here at 97.1 FM Talk. So let me first say, on a positive note, how about the Cardinals, Fred?
Wow, 8 in a row.
Unbelievable.
They haven't lost since you came back.
Wow.
See, there's a correlation with that, right?
You know, I remember it being a different narrative when you came back, saying that it had something to do with perhaps you coming back, that everything was falling apart.
Well, you know, when you go back, obviously I wasn't very rosy on the outlook for the Cardinals before the trip, and I think they might have been in last place, Ethan, or second to last place,
I think
right?
In fourth in the division.
But I've been watching a lot of baseball. It's been very entertaining. They have won 8 in a row. They got to take on the Phillies now, so that's a little
bit
more of a challenge for sure. But look, these guys are having fun. They're fun to watch. We need that in our city right now, especially given what I'm about to talk about here this afternoon. And I'm going to let Sue be the storyteller as we get started, because I'm guessing maybe some people out there, maybe a whole lot of you, have no idea what happened in Holly Hills last night, the neighborhood at Leona and Holly Hills. Now, I used to live in that neighborhood, and then I leased a home that I owned for a long time. Sue lives
place.
In that neighborhood.
Yeah.
You're transitioning into another home. It's a beautiful neighborhood.
Gorgeous.
State Representative Steve Butts lives right there on Holly Hills.
I was there before
Fred,
I moved out to the county. I was at Holly Hills and Christie.
Now, I think I forgot about that.
Yeah, we've all, at some point, minus Ethan, lived down there. And this particular intersection is large. In other words, there's a boulevard on both sides, so the street is wider. And therefore, the intersection itself, it's all stop signs, are wider. So there's a huge area in the middle of that. And that just, you need to know that part.
Yeah,
there's a lot of space.
It's a big four-way stop.
Yes.
It's larger than most intersections.
Yes.
Exactly.
And it's right by Carondelet Park. So last night, Michael and I are out for a walk, and we're just walking down. We walked down by Steve Butts' house. We walked back. And at some point, it's starting to get dark, and it's probably a little darker by now. And we cross Holly Hills, and we're going up to Ray, and we start hearing tires squeal. Now, I'm not talking about way off tire squealing. I'm talking about really loud, loud tire squealing. And we at first thought, oh, well, that's somebody in Carondelet Park.
I'll play it here while you tell the story.
Yeah, and it's somebody, they're doing donuts in Carondelet Park. And so we just continue to walk home. But listen, it doesn't stop. And Carondelet Park has been, they put up gates so that people couldn't do this. So we walk home, and I go in and I say, hey, can you take Oscar, the baby bulldog, for a walk? I'm going to go ahead and take a shower. He said, yeah, I'm going to go, because it's still going on. So Michael goes back out, and he walks up to Leona. And sure enough, it's not in the park. There are about 100 people and cars that have blocked off all four intersections. So two of Leona and Holly Hills are blocked off by cars, and there are people everywhere. And people are driving and doing donuts in that one large intersection time and time. You can smell the tires getting burned. And he's walking through people. And then there are people who live in the neighborhood going out and shooting on their phones this. And in the meantime, I'm calling the police. And I call the non-emergency number because I figure it's just cars.
Right, right.
And I just keep getting the recording. Don't hang up. But we've got nobody. The first available person will be with you. But I don't have any clue. I just him hearing it. Well, Michael comes back and says, you cannot believe what I just saw. And these cars just descend, and they're organized, and they descend on the intersection, block everybody off. And he said there were people with a lot of attitude, the women mainly.
Oh, yeah, we have audio of some of this. It's unbelievable.
I mean, they pretty much took over. They call it a street takeover. We didn't find that out till later. They did a street takeover and just ran these cars in the middle of intersection, blocking people. Nobody could get through. And did it for, it had to have gone on for 10, 15 minutes.
Well, let's call a little bit as we see it here. These were mainly people of color that were yelling at white people. Here's a case that I will make this afternoon. Look, I'm not gonna lie about anything. This is ridiculous. You know, people play the race card all the time. I'm going to pull the race card here because there were people last night that were treating these residents of Holly Hills in a way that if it happened in a reverse, you would see it non-freaking stop right now on CNN. The Post would have a lead. The Post hasn't even touched this yet. They haven't even talked about it. You would see racism in St. Louis. Look what's happening. You literally have black women and others calling whitey out for being white because they were concerned about their neighborhood. This was completely unacceptable. I'm going to tell you what the police did, but here's a problem I have this afternoon, and I'm not very surprised by it. Where in the hell is our new mayor? Because if she doesn't say a damn thing about this today, she is no better than Tish at all.
Agreed.
So let me play. Jane's going to join us here because she, you know, represents the cops. She's got some thoughts on this. But let me just play this because Fred just gave it to me. And this is Sean Malone, who works at KMOX, and he's been great covering this. I talked with him earlier. I'm just going to play what his story says because then you'll hear the police response, and then we'll have more reaction.
St. Louis police had a smaller response to the intersection of Holly Hills and Leona due to an aid call many en route officers responded to. The Mobile Reserve Commander surveyed the group of an estimated 100 cars drifting through the street and followed them around the city.
100.
When the rest of his unit was able to join him, they began spiking the vehicles. However, none were impounded and only one vehicle crashed. Police spokesman Mitch McCoy says they chose to prioritize spiking over chasing and impounding.
It's a game of cat and mouse. Which car do you go after? So in this strategy, everybody got spiked.
State Representative Steve Butts thinks flat tires alone isn't enough.
I really don't think this is enough to deter that.
In all, 50 cars were spiked and no arrests were made, but the juvenile behind the wheel of the crashed car turned himself in. Charges are pending. Sean Malone, KMOX News.
All right, so that's Sean's story. Now, look, here's the thing. I don't want to hear a damn thing from Mitch McCoy, the 25-year-old police spokesman, okay? I want to hear from the damn chief of police in the city of St. Louis about this. And you know what else is interesting is that Fox did a story about an hour ago. They've been previewing it. This is happening in Kansas City as well.
Yes, it is.
They did a story about Kansas City. I sent the video that you shared with me to Allison, who is Brian Kilmeade's producer. I said, look, this is happening in St. Louis as well. So Jane Duker, who was on the roundtable, represents the cops. We get fired up about these issues. I know you're fired up. By the way, you could follow me or check out at Mark Reardon KMOX. I always said KMOX, KFTK, or Jane's Twitter, because we've posted all this. Right, Ms. Duker? How are you?
Yep. Good. I'm ticked.
What the
I'm
hell?
I'm really ticked off. I mean, and the idea that spiking is adequate, I was very glad to hear Representative Butt say that is completely inadequate. By the way, Kansas City's response, they shut it down. Like, they had police officers that came out and shut it down.
Thank you.
We don't have enough, okay? And this is what's really, it gets to the fundamental question. there's no preventing crime going on in this city anymore because we don't have enough police officers. And the fact that the department won't look at the Board of Aldermen and the mayor and the state and say, you know what? You are abdicating your responsibility if we do not address crisis understaffing in the police department as a number one priority. Nothing else should happen until we properly staff this police department.
Yes.
And, you know, if you cannot field an adequate police department to deal with 100 people who did an orchestrated attack on a neighborhood.
Yes.
That didn't happen on its own, okay? So you're telling me the intelligence didn't know, the real-time crime center, did they not see this coalescing? I mean, come on. The bottom line was they didn't have any police officers to respond. They had two people who were trying to throw out strips. They keep explaining, they keep enabling the lack of appropriate response. The criminals are more organized than the police department. That is a problem. They're winning. The idea that they knew darn well that they could do this and there would be virtually no consequences
yep.
is the problem.
Agreed.
And
100%.
I am fed up. Nope. Why doesn't the chief look at the Board of Aldermen and say, until you pay enough to get enough police officers, you are abdicating your responsibility to the citizens and to the police officers. But no, they enable and they try to work around the nonsense. There is no working around this. We are getting to critical mass. These people know more about what the police are doing than the police know. And this is a department decision. This isn't an everyday cop decision.
Exactly.
This is an allocation of resources that is not happening. And we are satisfying a vocal minority who wanted to fund the police, but you know what? They succeeded.
Yeah, they seem to have succeeded. They won. That's kind of where we are. Now, right. I want you to address the racial aspect of this, Jane, because what I just said, I think you heard me. If this were in reverse, there would be people that would be charged with hate crimes for this.
No question. And to hear that.
Oh, what happened there? Go ahead. I don't know what happened there. That was echo. Oh, my
but
gosh.
That woman saying, look at the white boy calling the police.
Yeah.
I mean, they were taunting the people who live there.
And the people who live there were like, look, this is our neighborhood,
yes.
and they're taking it over.
Right. Although, street takeover, what does that tell you? How did the police, they organize this on Facebook or somewhere.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
100
yep.
people.
Right.
And it's like, wait a minute here. So you're telling me that the intelligence didn't know or the real-time crime center couldn't see 100 cars that are going to descend on South City? I mean, at 9 o'clock at night?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not like it's 2 in the morning. That's the other thing.
Yes, that's it. And they came out of nowhere. I mean, and immediately shut down. Well organized, and you know which street to take and to shut it down. The neighbors had no idea what was going on. We were clueless, Jane, and it was super loud. And then we all called, and nobody's picking up the phone at the police department. And maybe it's because we were all calling at the same time. I don't know, but it's outrageous.
You know what? When there is a major incident, that's what happens. That's not unforeseen. And that's what's really frustrating to me. So it exposes two things. One, 911 is not fixed. Quit lying
not
to people
close.
And telling them it is. Because when you have a mass event, you're going to have a lot of phone calls. And you need to be able to answer some of them, if not all. That's number one. Did the computer even answer? I'm very curious.
Yeah, the computer.
Because they count that as an answer.
Yeah, the computer answers, and the computer says, don't hang up.
Hold on.
We'll go ahead at the first operator available.
Continue to watch the situation. Yeah. So 911 is not fixed, and we are still doing crisis. And did Mitch McCoy tell the press today how many cops were actually on patrol last night?
I don't think so.
No, because they keep that under lock and key.
Yeah.
They don't tell you, we have a specialized unit. Well, that's a problem because specialized units, I mean, really, we need boots on the ground. We need boots on the ground.
So here's what the mayor, Fred, we just have some tepid response here from the mayor. Now, I missed this last week, and again, I was returning from my trip, but there was a story in St. Louis Magazine with the headline, Spencer Promises Bigger Crackdown on Reckless Driving, and then the mayor's office said, look, we invited her to come on the air. We didn't think that she would, but her spokesperson said the schedule is packed. I'm afraid she can't make it. Mm-hmm. But then they send the story from the St. Louis Magazine, they say, Lo, I did see claims on social media that SLMPD didn't respond yesterday. You may have seen in the media briefing today that they spiked about 50 vehicles involved in these slideshows last night. That's what they call them, slideshows?
I don't know.
So, look.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
That's not adequate.
It's not adequate. I mean, this is one of those issues. This could happen in any neighborhood.
Yes,
it could. Kara Spencer should have been out there in front of the cameras right now talking about this.
We're
and how this
shut
is
this
unacceptable.
Down. Yes.
And it's not
but
just
you know
words.
What?
Let's take some
she
freaking
can't.
Action.
She can't because there's not enough police officers. And I don't know what the problem
is. Well, then she needs to say that.
People
yes.
won't just admit it. Exactly. Why are we being gaslit that response was appropriate? It is not appropriate. And why can't the department look at the board? We just went through budget hearings. And they said, oh, we don't have enough officers. But they didn't look at them and say, you know, this stagnant budget that doesn't provide a raise to maintain and or recruit new officers is unacceptable. Like, they don't fight for this. They're okay to just take whatever's handed to them.
And meantime,
and
there's nothing from the chief.
We need a board.
Yeah, then there's nothing from the chief, and Mitch McCoy goes out there, and they claim victory because they spiked some cars when everyone was probably afraid for their fucking lives.
It was crazy.
You know what? Oh, a game of cat and mouse. Yeah, they're winning.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. There's 100 cars. And when you only have like 2 cars, you're not going to catch them.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, so
it really is.
And so you try to act like stripping and giving them flat tires because, you know, they've been doing that. They've been stripping for a long time. So please, like, that's deterring nothing. And so, giving flat tires is more effective than actually maybe putting these people in jail and taking their car. Take it.
I'm with you. By the way, this is not unlike, this was more, I think, more reckless and more shocking than the motorcycle gang. But, Jane, you pulled out of here 3 weeks ago on a Friday. You get stuck here at 14th and Market, and there's a big motorcycle gang that's going by. We've seen that as well.
Yeah. Oh, and guys, let's say, but they impounded 2 bikes, Mark.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's right. I'm
they
sorry.
Impounded 2 bikes. You act like they did nothing.
Well, I want to make it clear, though. The one thing that I texted this video to a cop that used to live in this area who's a friend of mine, and he was outraged. I mean, the cops are outraged, too, and I don't want to blame this on the
they
officers.
They want to do
we
their
know that.
Job.
Exactly.
Right. They want to do their job. But when the chief doesn't even come out and say, we can't handle this, because we do not have enough officers. Why are we not telling the citizens the truth?
Do you think Robert Tracy and Kara Spencer spoke today by any chance about this issue?
Have no idea.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be interesting, though?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
to see what the priority would be?
I mean, at this point, if you're a city that cannot field an appropriate police department, then you need to not be a city.
Well, look, I got to go because we have stuff going on. But, Jane, well spoken. You brought the fire here this afternoon. I knew you would. Look, I can hear it in your voice. I was seething
this
morning. When you sent this to me, you can ask my wife. I'm walking around the kitchen, and I was just saying, I can't believe that this happened.
I know. And see, that's it. Jane is exactly right.
It's happening.
And they know the police won't be able to get there because this is a nice, this is a bold move to do this neighborhood.
In that area.
Yes.
I would agree.
And
they set out to taunt the neighborhood residents. That's what this was. It was a takeover and they meant to do it. And the idea that they get to win every time is really sad.
Well, I know that Steve Butts is angry as well. He's going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour. Jane, I got to run, but thank you so much.
Thanks, Jane.
All right,
oh my gosh. So we're off and running here. Check the Twitter site. If you have not seen the video, I put it up at Mark Reardon KFTK. Jane's got it on her Twitter site. It's really all over there. You won't find it in your local piece of crap paper, that's for sure.
Ring the bell. We've done it again. Golden Oak Lending has lowered rates to 4.875 fixed. Lower your monthly payment, get cash out, pay off credit cards, and best of all, make no mortgage payments for 2 months. Lock in this incredible 4.875 rate and get your cash in as little as 14 days. Visit goldenoaklending.com today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
5.81 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Wow, so quite a start. I'm going to have to give Ms. Duker some credit there. You know, usually on the roundtable, I'm trying to shut her up, but I just wanted her to go this afternoon.
And she was on fire.
She was on fire. I read a great column from Josh Hammer, and I want him to describe what it was about here as we welcome him into the fold. You hear his show on Saturday afternoon at 1 p.m. here on 97.1 FM Talk. He's a Newsweek senior editor at large. And there's even more to talk about than when you wrote this column about some issues here today, Josh. But how are you on this Monday? We're fired up here in St. Louis, I will tell you that.
Mark, I'm doing great as always. It's always a pleasure to join you.
So I want you to kind of tell the story the way you did in the column, because I was coming back from an overseas trip last week. I didn't know about some of these ICE raids at some restaurants. I also am discovering, because of your column, that some of the powerful media people, the elite media people, own lots of restaurants. That's kind of interesting, isn't it?
Funny how that works. So this was in the nation's capital. This is in Washington, D.C. last weekend. Look, there's so much happening in the news cycle right now that I think you would be more than forgiven for missing this story. But there was the situation where in the nation's capital, ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, decided to raid at least 9 restaurants. Now, Washington, D.C. is a so-called sanctuary city, meaning that they direct their local law enforcement to not assist the feds when it comes to enforcing immigration law. So the mere fact that the feds have raids, and I'm using the term of the mainstream media, raid here, Mark,
right.
In reality, an ICE raid sometimes is going to be like, smashing the door, you know, where's the criminal alien kind of situation, like a SWAT team style. But typically speaking, we're talking here about agents that show up with paperwork and a
right.
briefcase and basically just say, like, show me your immigration documentation. So the media was flipping out that there were at least 9 different ICE raids. And it turns out that a handful of these raids were in, shall we say, restaurants that seem to be a little politically connected to forces not particularly sympathetic to the Trump administration. In particular, there was one restaurant that is owned by a man by the name of Jeff Tracy. He's the husband of the CBS News anchor Nora O'Donnell.
Yeah,
she was actually
that.
One
yeah.
of the she was one of the co-moderators in the J.D. Vance Tim Walz vice presidential debate last October. And there was a second restaurant that is owned by the former Biden White House chief of staff, Jeffrey Zients. And then you had a third that is owned by Jose Andres, who is a very well-known Spanish restaurant owner and quite a left-wing activist. So you have a lot of people saying, is the Trump administration weaponizing law enforcement? Are they politicizing the rule of law? And the entire purpose of my column, Mark, is basically to just kind of say, please. Where have you guys been for the past 4 years?
Well, let me just interrupt real quickly, because I love this line, and this is what I really hung on to, and I tweeted this out, I think you know this, over the weekend. You said, you know, was this politically motivated? Maybe, maybe not. Regardless, and with all due respect to the pro-clutchers, permit a moment of unfettered bluntness, I simply do not care. And I could not have related more with that statement. I simply do not care. Now, you explained why you don't care, and I want you to do that now, but I think a lot of listeners right now are right there with you, Josh.
Totally, and that, you know, that this was a moment of unfettered bluntness in my weekly syndicated column, because I think sometimes you just have to just be extremely blunt. I do not give the smallest crap in the world, frankly.
Thank you.
I just don't. I mean, I am not going to lose a second of sleep when it comes to ICE agents showing up at Jose Andres' restaurant to ask for immigration papers when the same people are clutching their pearls and had nothing to say whatsoever when Steve Bannon and Peter Navarro were literally going to jail, when J6ers who traipsed into the U.S. Capitol because the door was open were put in solitary confinement. Above all, when Donald Trump himself was prosecuted by Joe Biden's own Department of Justice. These people had nothing to say about that. Nothing. And frankly, I think if you want to talk about the origins of the modern politicization of law enforcement, you could actually go back prior to Joe Biden. The Biden administration really ramped it up to the next level for sure in many, many ways. The Merrick Garland, parental rights, critical race theory memo. There's a million examples there. But you can go back even further in the column, Mark, to the Obama administration. This is what I argue there. I mean, let's not forget that Lois Lerner, when she was the director of the Obama-era IRS, She publicly admitted back then in 2013, that was 12 years ago now, but she publicly admitted to targeting conservative Tea Party groups when it comes to trying to strip them of their tax-exempt status.
Yep.
I mean, the Obama administration sued Catholic nuns. They sued the Little Sisters of the Poor. They literally sued these elderly, octogenarian, little old lady nuns in federal court trying to force them to violate their Catholic faith and subsidize abortifacients. So don't give me this crap. Don't give me this about the politicization of the rule of law. I'm not having it. I suspect the American people are not having it either.
I'm not having it at all, and that's why that really resonated with me. Now, you addressed this in the column. You said, look, there's going to be some people that say, well, look, it's just whataboutism, you know, two wrongs don't make a right, etc.
Yeah, so look, I mean, that is kind of elementary school logic, right, that two wrongs don't make a right, and that's true insofar as it goes, but, you know, anyone who's ever studied any economics probably knows, or at least has heard of game theory. And game theory is essentially you try to play out how multiple actors are going to relate to one another in various different scenarios. So if actor A does A, then actor B will respond with B. And you kind of you try to game out how it's going to look like on a geopolitical or even just kind of a micro chessboard. And anyone who knows anything about game theory knows that unilateral disarmament is never going to work. Where you have a foe, and let's be very clear, the side here that is trying to prosecute nuns to force them to subsidize abortifacients, the side that is putting grandmothers who are at the Capitol on January 6th in solitary confinement, the side that it is prosecuting Donald Trump, putting Steve Bannon in jail and so forth, they are the aggressors here. It's simple game theory that if you unilaterally disarm, they're just going to keep on coming at you with everything they got. And the only way that I can possibly think of to try to ultimately unwind and de-escalate tensions, and this is a little ironic or paradoxical, you might say, but I think it happens to be true, it's actually going to take short-term escalation in the service of a mid-to-long-term stasis or equilibrium. You basically, Mark, have to, proverbially speaking, bloody up some noses a little bit there. They have to know that the right is willing and able, dare I say at times even eager, to get their hands a little dirty simply to send a message, a shot across the bow, that we're not going to take it anymore. And God willing, at some point when that message has been delivered, then we can all kind of drop our guns in this grand Mexican standoff and get back to a true rule of law. Now, I'm a lawyer, Mark. I clerk for a federal appeals judge. Right. I'm a constitutionalist. I hate the fact that this is where we're at. I lament it. I wish that we were not here. I'm just trying to be realistic about where we're at, though.
And I appreciate the honesty. Now, I can kind of segue in a strange way, maybe, into this whole issue of Qatar giving, you know, the jet to the U.S., and maybe not everyone's caught up about that, but I'm you know, tooling around last night, getting ready for some show stuff, and I see this story, and then there's, you know, Jonathan Carl does the story, and it's the biggest outrageous thing that Trump's ever done. But, you know, maybe I do have an opinion in the end where that's problematic. But I really don't know, because I can't trust the information that's coming from the legacy media on any of this because of everything you kind of just mentioned.
Right. So they are clearly trying to get Trump. I mean, you know, these are the people that are trying to get Trump. And again, it may or may not be legitimate. I happen to have a lot of issues with the country of Qatar. I wish that we treated Qatar, frankly, as a state sponsor of terrorism and not as a major non-NATO ally, which is what the Biden administration formally designated them as back in 2022. So I am no fan of this quote-unquote gift from Qatar. I mean, talk about a modern-day 21st century Trojan horse.
Right.
But to your point, yeah, I mean, this is the same administration that, you know, I mean, if Donald Trump farts in the wrong direction, they're going to say it's a constitutional crisis or it's like a mini insurrection within the White House there, right? I mean, you just can't trust what you're getting at. And by the way, you know, a side note to that whole point about the breakdown in trust in our would-be media gatekeepers in the vanguards of truth and so forth there. You know, a lot of people on cable news in the major papers, they lament how you've had the rise of this whole alternative media sphere, the podcasters, the YouTubers. The Trump White House is basically credentialing a lot of them there. And I'm hearing a lot of folks from traditional media sources lament that.
Oh, yeah.
And the reality, though, is you guys only have yourselves to blame for that, because by so shooting yourselves in the foot and degrading your own credibility, you have made this necessary. If only you had conducted yourselves in a more intellectually honest fashion, perhaps we wouldn't be here in the first
place. But do you think any of them realize that? Like, do you think Nora O'Donnell even thinks about that for one moment?
I don't. I, yeah. They should, but no, I don't.
So On another separate but related, because Hamas released the last living American hostage today, Eden Alexander, after some mediation. And President Trump, I think, certainly was mentioning this earlier today. What are your thoughts on that and just the current situation in Israel right now?
Well, look, it's obviously a tremendous thing when a hostage gets released. I mean, this poor young man, I mean, just horrific. I mean, well over 500 days in captivity with some of the most barbaric thugs on the face of the earth. I mean, you know, thank God that he's alive, that he's back with his family.
Right.
I mean, this is heartwarming stuff on a human level. Now, the cynic in me has to wonder, though, what was the implied quid pro quo here?
Right.
So the United States apparently essentially did this through back channels, negotiating with Hamas, I guess, an apparent violation of the proverbial rule about negotiating with terrorists. And I wonder what the United States is going to do in return, right? And then you kind of couple this with what we were just talking about, this Boeing 747 quote-unquote gift from Qatar, which are the number one bankrollers and funders of Hamas. I really do wonder what the next move is going to be. And my concern is that this could result in President Trump and Special Envoy Witkoff then kind of turning to Israel in turn and saying, okay, you got this hostage back. Now it's time for you to kind of put a definitive timeline to end this war on our terms. And Israel's not going to do that. They can't do that there. So I do worry about at what cost this might have come. But look, I mean, you know, as a young-ish man myself, you know, when I see a young guy freed from captivity from these utter, I mean, just the worst savages you can ever think of in your entire lives, it's obviously something to celebrate.
And he was taken that furry first day on October 7th, right? He was on the original attack.
Yeah, no, totally. He's been there since day one. And credit to his family for never losing a single day, to not plead their case, to not remind our public officials of him being there. And, you know, one of the things that this whole hostage release, I think, underscores is that, look, October 7th was obviously primarily an assault on Israel. There's no doubt about that. But you look at the nationalities of the other folks who were either murdered or taken hostage. I forgot the exact number, but it was like 30 or 40, maybe even 50 different nationalities of people who had their citizens either slaughtered or taken hostage there. I mean, it was a large number of people that were killed. At that music festival alone, the Nova Music Festival, people flew in from all over Europe to attend that festival there. And the United States had well over three dozen individuals who were either killed or taken hostage, which made October 7, 2023, on its own terms, the single largest American hostage crisis since Tehran 1979, the whole Jimmy Carter Iran hostage crisis. So, you know, that's kind of been my response since day one to a lot of folks who kind of look at this conflict and they say, America first, I don't care. Well, I mean, I'm sorry, but there has been a distinctly and unambiguously American component to this particular crisis ever since day one as well.
Josh Hammer is here. So one more topic I'm just curious about, because I mentioned I was out of the country and I didn't follow all of the news. But one of the things I noticed before I left a couple of weeks ago, and I've noticed this the entire, you know, winter, certainly the past few months, is there is this Gaza is starving story about how bad the hunger is with the Palestinians, and it's, you know, brutal. But I've also seen some stuff since I've been back about questioning whether the media is even accurate on some of that stuff. Again, it fits in with all the themes that we're talking about.
Well, look, the media, when it comes to this issue, and not just post October 7th, by the way, ever since Hamas first took over in Gaza, the media has had a terrible, terrible habit of just repeating what Hamas says as if it is mother's milk. The problem, the obvious problem, is that Hamas is a genocidal jihadist organization, a U.S.-recognized foreign terrorist organization, and guess what? They lie. They lie just like various other very bad, evil actors do there. So when it comes to everything from food supply to casualties to the percentage of the people who have killed, have been combatants versus civilians, children, men, You simply cannot believe what they say. And I find it unbelievable, Mark, as someone who has followed this conflict for a long time, I find it just unbelievable that I and others just have to repeat this, because we've been saying it for so long. And yet, as you said, they never learn their lesson. The same way that Nora O'Donnell is never asking herself whether or not they are to blame for the rise of alternative media, so too these people are never looking in the mirror and saying, should I quote the Hamas Ministry of Health as if it is the equivalent of the United States Department of Health and Human Services? I mean, maybe not there, but they're never asking their questions, because I frankly don't know why, but I guess
I don't know why either. But then you also had, this is something else I'm kind of catching up on, this whole nonsense on these university campuses and Columbia University, that's rearing its ugly head again.
It is, but the Trump administration is doing an excellent job on this front. They really are. I truly, truly applaud, actually, what the administration is doing when it comes to the issue of higher ed there, this righteous attempt to frankly belittle. You know, there's actually a public virtue sometimes in trying to belittle institutions that are trying to subvert the common good. And that's kind of very kind of like, I guess, higher level way of saying it. But you look at institutions like Harvard and Columbia. And, you know, once upon a time, these universities were serving the common good. They were producing good citizens. It's very difficult to look at Harvard and Columbia now and conclude that they're doing anything other than undermining the country and undermining the common good. And frankly, there's something to be said for trying to subvert and undermine them in response. That's basically what Donald Trump is doing there. But in so doing, he's also taking a deeply popular stance, which is that the American people shouldn't be subsidizing you. I mean, it's as common sense as it gets. I mean, I'm sorry, but someone who was sweating to make a living in proverbial flyover country, you know, including here in St. Louis, Missouri. I mean, really, does the median American want to subsidize their hard-earned dollars to Harvard University? Are you kidding me? Yeah. I mean, this is a deeply popular issue for the Trump administration. Well, it's good policy as well.
I could fold this in also, because we have elected officials, we have mayors, we have members of Congress that are going to bat for migrants who aren't legally here in this country, some of whom are criminals, and they don't really want to address the American people and the people that are actually taxpayers. That remains to be stunning, that that's a lesson that the left has not, you know, learned from this election.
Well, they have a lot of lessons, frankly, that they have not learned from their lesson. I mean, I was watching Joe Biden on the View last week, I guess.
Oh,
that was there.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly they have not learned any lessons. The fact that they're still trotting out this guy. I mean, at what point does Jill Biden get tried in the court of public opinion for elder abuse, for what she is doing to her husband?
It should have happened last summer. We know that. Josh Hammer, awesome. Thank you so much for bringing the fire. We're off and running here on two great guests. So thank you, Josh. We'll talk again soon.
Looking forward to it.
All right, and you can hear a show every Saturday, 1 p.m. right here on 97.1 FM Talk. I do have some great media reaction audio to get to. We got Sue's News in the next hour.
Ring the bell. We've done it again. Golden Oak Lending has lowered rates to 4.875 fixed. Lower your monthly payment, get cash out, pay off credit cards, and best of all, make no mortgage payments for 2 months. Lock in this incredible 4.875 rate and get your cash in as little as 14 days. Visit goldenoaklending.com today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
5.81 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Hey, if you're hearing echo, it's not just you. We are having some challenges. We heard the echo a little bit earlier this afternoon. Let me try it again here. That's gone now. It's gone. Okay, I think we figured it out, and I apologize to the audience. So on the, let me just see if I can squeeze this in. I might not even be able to do this before the end of the hour. But on the story of the Boeing 747 jumbo jet that's going to be used as Air Force One, the story from ABC News and Jonathan Carl, who is not to be trusted, is that the Trump administration is accepting this as a gift. And it seems like we have that confirmed by the president today. But Qatar yesterday denied reports that they're preparing to accept, or that the Trump administration is preparing to accept, a luxury jet from the royal family in the coming days. But the president did address this with the media this afternoon. And here's what he said, if I can get the right bite here, because I'm very confused with all the stuff that's happening with Echo.
I think Qatar, who has really, we've helped them a lot over the years in terms of security and safety. I think they very, very nicely, and they said we would like to do something, and if we can get a 747 as a contribution to our Defense Department to use during a couple of years while they're building the other ones, I think that was a very nice gesture.
So, look, there could be legitimate, I'm not going to deny, there could be very legitimate questions about this arrangement. I don't know what my concerns will be because I don't even know what I can trust on the reporting right now. My standard usually is, look, if Joe Biden, if Kamala Harris, God forbid she was in the White House, if they were doing something just like this, what would I think? But this is an interesting analogy when he's asked this question, the president earlier today. Check this out.
Mr. President, what do you say to people who view that luxury jet as a personal gift to you? Why not leave it behind?
You're ABC fake news, right?
Why not?
It's only ABC. Well, a few of you would. Let me tell you. You should be embarrassed asking that question. They're giving us a free jet. I could say, no, 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 don't give us. I want to pay you $1 billion or $400 million or whatever it is. Or I could say, thank you very much. You know, there was an old golfer named Sam Snead. Did you ever hear of him? He won 82 tournaments. He was a great golfer. And he had a motto. When they give you a putt, you say, thank you very much. You pick up your ball and you walk to the next hole. A lot of people are stupid. They say, no, no, I insist on putting it. Then they putt it, and they miss it. And their partner gets angry at them. You know what? Remember that. Sam Snead, when they give you a putt, you pick it up, and you walk to the next hole, and you say, thank you very much.
Well, as someone who plays golf, I appreciate that analogy. And by the way, there's another angle to this story, and it's St. Louis based. Why couldn't Boeing produce this jet in a timely fashion, and why are they $1 billion over budget? Maybe we'll get to that this afternoon as well.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Ring the bell. We've done it again. Golden Oak Lending has lowered rates to 4.875 fixed. Lower your monthly payment, get cash out, pay off credit cards, and best of all, make no mortgage payments for 2 months. Lock in this incredible 4.875 rate and get your cash in as little as 14 days. Visit goldenoaklending.com today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
5.81 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.